Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Today we're looking at a brand new way to make the most of the season of Lent, the 6 weeks of preparation for the great Feast of Easter. And as we continue to be horrified by the situation in Ukraine, let's use our opening music as a time of prayer for peace and protection for all. The Angels' Work is by singer-songwriters Martin John Nichols and Paul Field, who have a passion for peace and justice.
Last night I dreamed I saw an angel walking somewhere behind the barricades, where you and I would be afraid to tread, where the wounds of war are made. She's stepping over the helpless and weak in the wreckage of their lives. The cold rain is running down her cheeks like the tears from God's own eyes. Singing mercy, where are you? When will justice come? Not till we all live in hope and peace will the angels' work be done. Last night I dreamed I saw an angel dancing for truth upon the greed and lies that seem to pave those hallowed towers. He sees the leaders we've elected kings talk of freedom and sacrifice. Such pious words, such empty offerings, when it's the poor who pay price. Crying mercy, where are you? When will love come down? Not till we all live on equal terms can we walk on common ground. Their hungry cries sound like a million nails hammered on a single cross. He sees the children chained in poverty. He sees us watch from paradise. Such different values, such different worlds, different sights. To the same dice, whispers mercy, where are you? How long will it be till we see poverty over and done and every heart is free? singing mercy. Oh, where are you when will justice come? Not till we all live in hope and peace will the angels' work be done. Not till we all live in hope and peace will the angels' work be done.
God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. And we pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Praying for peace through the music of Martin John Nichols and Paul Field. A few days ago, the season of Lent began. Pancakes on Shrove Tuesday, followed by Ash Wednesday. But how did it all start? And more importantly, what does it offer us today? Let's eavesdrop on a conversation between Russ Bravo and Patrick Woodward.
Lent was something that started really in the early church and went on from there. It was the time, the final time of preparation before people were baptised at Easter. And so just as Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness where he was fasting and tempted before he started his ministry, the idea was that the people who were preparing to become Christians, to be baptised at Easter, spent the final 40 days in their idea of giving things up, their desert, if you like. So there was that. There was also in the early church the time when people had been cast out of the communion, excommunicated, if you like, because of sin or because of what they'd done or whatever, and this was their final time of being making reparation for those sins before they came back at Easter, and it was a big jolly and everybody had a fantastic time there.
Right, and we've had Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday.
Oh yes.
Explain those.
The pancakes, that's what everyone probably remembers. Pancake Day, yeah. Shrove Tuesday is the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, and it's a time, Shrove meaning shrive, to forgive, to get rid of sins, to repent. Right. It was also a time when the day before Lent started, of course, you cleared out your cupboards of all the rich fare that you had left, and what better to make than pancakes? So you fried up your pancakes and you had a big feast before the austerity of Lent kicked in, because of course Lent starts on Ash Wednesday, and that 40-day period where people traditionally gave things up. And on Ash Wednesday, at the beginning of Lent, you were marked with the sign of the cross in ash on your forehead, and off Lent went. And it still happens a lot in the Orthodox tradition, the Roman Catholic tradition, and a lot of the Anglican traditions as well. People on Ash Wednesday will meet together. The palm crosses from the year before will have been burnt and turned into ash, and the ash will be marked on the foreheads of the people in church. To dust you are, to dust you will return. Turn away from your sins and turn to Christ.
Now, this all goes back right to the early days of the church. It's not something which is a throwback to, like, Victorian times.
Oh, no. No, no.
Much further back.
Yes, much, much further back than that.
Right. And what about the whole idea of giving up things? Because that's what we think about, isn't it? Oh,
it
I'm going to
give
up chocolate for Lent.
Oh, chocolate,
you know.
Wine, yes, yes, yes.
Where does this come from?
And become extra grumpy for Lent. That's what it's all about. Well, originally, of course, because Jesus went into the desert for 40 days, and he gave up a lot of things for 40 days. In particular, it says he fasted, didn't eat, didn't drink for 40 days. So the idea was that Jesus gave things up for this period of time. Lent is an echo of that. Therefore, we give things up that are getting in the way of our discipleship, of our following God. So traditionally, Lent has been a time for giving things up. It's also a time for taking things on, though, as well. And sometimes, in one sense, it's quite easy to give up tea or coffee and just be grumpy for the whole of Lent or have caffeine withdrawal symptoms. But what about taking something on? What about going to a Lent group? What about reading a particular book? What about praying for somebody particularly? Something that you actually take on during the period of Lent. Because one of the things that Lent is about, it's about spring cleaning our lives, and it's asking whether the patterns that we're setting, how we're loving, how we're using our money, how we're using our time and our talents, are we doing that in the way that God wants us to do it? And if we need to give things up, maybe we do, but also maybe we need to take things on.
Is it a miserable time or what?
It's not a miserable time, it's a sombre time, and I think there's a difference, isn't it? It's not a joyless time, but it may be a serious time. It's not a time for self-flagellation and self-recrimination, but it's a time for repentance and a time for penitence, and it's a time for getting ourselves straight with God. This idea of spring cleaning is quite a helpful one. Spring cleaning can be a lot of hard work, and it can be a bit of a sweat, but hey, do you feel better when you've done it? Mm. And so with our lives, we need a chance to spring clean our lives for God.
Thank you, Russ Bravo and Patrick Woodward. I like the idea of spring cleaning and of taking something up rather than stopping doing something. And a conversation I had last week with Ruth Rice seems to offer the perfect solution. Following her own breakdown some 12 years ago, Manx-born Ruth Rice founded Renew Wellbeing, a charity that runs simple cafe-style spaces where basically it's okay to not be okay, where well-being is the top priority. And whilst everyone and anyone is welcome at Renew without pressure or judgment, Ruth's own deep faith puts God at the centre of all that she does. Ruth has been back on the island for the launch of her latest book, The A to Z of Wellbeing, a list using every letter of the alphabet to help us to find our own peace and wholeness. And while I was reading my copy, I thought that taking a letter of the alphabet each day during these weeks of Lent might be a good way to spring clean our own mental health and perhaps even reach Easter embracing a new life. So I invited Ruth into the studio to see what she thought of the idea.
Yeah, great idea. Because Lent, it's funny, isn't it? If you're not a person of a Christian tradition, you might just think, oh, they all give stuff up for a bit and then it's Easter and we eat a lot of chocolate. There's something about the preparation period of Lent. So, Jesus preparing himself, Jesus being prepared in a wilderness. That's what it was all about. And I don't know, it feels a bit of a wilderness right now, doesn't it? If you switch on the news, So well-being, very key issue, I think, at the moment.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about well-being. It's not about being healthy, about being happy. What really is well-being, Ruth?
Well, see, now there's the whole point of this journey together, because I've been looking at what I think well-being might be since I had a breakdown 12 years ago, and I still haven't absolutely bottomed out a definition of it, hence the 26 letters of the alphabet helping me to describe what well-being looks like in my life and inviting people to talk about it. I think the Hebrew word shalom would describe it best, maybe, this kind of whole, that kind of acceptance of the whole thing. I hear people saying, oh yeah, well-being is just about being well. But my fascination came about when I wasn't well, when I was mentally and emotionally unwell. I discovered habits of well-being, of things that held me together during a time when I wasn't well. And maybe some of us during this pandemic have found ourselves re-engaging with habits that do us good, because we've had to, because it's not been great. So I think there's something about us sharing that journey of well-being, talking to each other more about, well, how did you get your feet on the floor this morning when things aren't going great for you in your life? How are you getting through it? That's what I'm fascinated by. So getting hold of the A to Z of well-being that I've written will not give you the definition of well-being. It'll give you my life of well-being in a bit of a nutshell so far, because I'm always journeying with this word. I'm always trying to find out, what could this really look like today? What does it look like to live with well-being today? And for me, it's a set of habits that bring me into a kind of more peaceful state of mind, regardless of my circumstances. So for me, my Christian faith is really important to that, because I don't think well-being is something I make happen. It's not a feeling. It's a story I'm held in. So the story of God's love for us Christmas is well-being for me. That's the sort of shalom that holds me, the bigger story. And whether I'm okay or not okay that day actually doesn't affect the big story. So actually for me, it's about practicing the presence of God, if you like, in little things, big things, looking for beauty and other things around me, learning from other people. So yeah, those five ways to well-being that you might be familiar with, mental health teams use them a lot, connecting, learning, getting active, taking notice, giving. I think they can apply to us doing stuff, but they can also apply to our inner lives, the offstage life nobody sees. And that's the thing I'm fascinated about, is attending to what people don't see as well as what people do see.
Just coming to the book for a moment, the A to Z, it is for every letter of the alphabet, it is a thought, a suggestion, an experience. The lovely thing about it is, obviously, you can go through it page by page, but you can dip into it at any point and just read a little bit of it. Mm. But also that the material, it can be a springboard. You might not, I might look at something under the letter P or R or S or whatever, and it might not be completely directly applicable or useful to me, but it'll get me thinking along those lines.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to have their own language of well-being. And I'm hoping that, and there's questions at the end of every chapter to get people thinking and to get people talking, you know, round tables together at home or down the pub or whatever at church. But it is going to be different for every person. But actually, there's something universal as well about our well-being, something shared about our well-being. So actually, on the front cover, it says a personal toolkit for peace and wholeness. Actually, it's not just personal. It has to be your own experience. But then what you experience of well-being affects the next person and the next person. And if we've got some little tips and habits and prayers that we can share with each other, I just think Lent gives us this 40 days, well, there's only 26 letters, so you got some days off right there. I mean, that's going to give you a bit of time to go, oh, I forgot today. Or you could do 26 days and then the last week leading up to Easter, I tend to get really deeply into looking what Jesus said well-being's about, so I'm going to do that. So I'm going to try and do one a day, look at what it says, chat to people around me, you know, text the odd message to somebody going, what are you thinking about today with this letter? So it could be quite a rich journey, couldn't it?
I think it's going to be. You've just said something there that just touched on very briefly about texting somebody. We tend to kind of downplay texting and say, oh, you know, isn't it a shame that we text and we don't write letters anymore? And letters are very lovely. And I'm speaking personally, love to get a letter. But the value of a text message that lets me know that somebody's thinking about me really helps me. I find that tremendously helpful, you know, when I'm rushing around or perhaps there's something going on and in my life and somebody will just text me and say, how's that? They'll ask about that situation. It's lovely to be thought of. Yeah. And you can get that immediacy in a text,
yeah,
can't you?
Yeah, so like when we get to K is for kindness, you know, there is a natural way in which you can just do something kind that day. You know, that would be a day to go, I'm actually going to say that thing. And the power of encouragement. You know, if somebody says three nice things and one awful thing, you'll remember the one awful thing coming out of the room. So like let's fill each other's phones with encouragement and good stuff and kindness over the course of Lent. And I think there's something about getting into some habits that I think there's some research, isn't there, that says if you can do something for 21 days in a run, then it's going to become part of you. I think it needs to be a bit longer than that because I've been on enough diets to know that. But there's something about 40 days could allow us to really get into some good habits with our well-being and some shared habits with other people as well.
This is how I would like to do it. We're going to use as a basis the book, The A to Z of Wellbeing by Ruth Rice. And it's available from Church's Bookshop that's within St Thomas's Church, Finch Road, the heart of Douglas. But if you can't get in there, you can give them a call and they can send you a copy. And it's all very, very easy. Now, we're going to use that book as the basis. But every Sunday here on At Your Service, we're going to take a couple of the letters out of the book and we're going to hear Ruth just share with us what it says in the book. So there's going to be two of those in each programme through our Lent journey. But you've also made some videos, haven't you?
Yes. So if you, my little website is ruthricebooks.online or you can get to them through the renewwellbeing.org.uk website, where you can get hold of those website details. And there's 26 little videos that I've made, a minute and a half for each of the letters. And they're not the same as what's in the book. You'd still need the book to go alongside it, because the book is taking a deeper look at what that word could look like. But the video will just be a little bit of a conversation starter, and you can get those for free. They're on the website. There's also a way in which you could use the book to have conversations over Lent with your friends, with your small groups in your churches, around the table at home or in the pub, wherever it is you're about. Wouldn't it be great if we started buzzing around with this well-being, not just being a word, not just some sort of, at the moment it's sort of a trendy word to talk about. What does it mean? What does it look like? What does that look like in your life and my life? And what questions could we ask each other that would help us to live with better well-being?
We're going to start right now, and we're going to start with the first letter, and you're going to read from the book for us, please, Ruth. A is for acceptance.
A is for acceptance. So acceptance, to be able to accept the day before me, myself and all that's in the cup of my life, and know that I am accepted and loved and forgiven, that's good for my well-being. This is why I love the image of my life like a cup. Whatever the cup of that day holds, God holds me. If his hands are not safe, if I have in my head an image of an angry, hard-to-please God, then I'll have a hard job accepting that that cup is safe. I will maybe try to be something other than who I am, be more positive than I feel, try to be more and please more people. To be accepted is a wonderful thing, particularly when the one accepting you knows what you're thinking, knows everything you've done, and how prone you are to wandering off. I love Psalm 23. I know it by heart. There's a good shepherd who cares for, protects, looks after the sheep, all the sheep. He accepts them all. The shepherd doesn't decide which sheep needs more protection, more shepherding than others. He shepherds them all. To know I am the sheep of this shepherd is the first step in my well-being journey. We all follow someone or something. I'm so glad I follow someone who accepts me, even though I've often displayed the same wisdom in life as a sheep. Have you ever watched sheep? You'll know what I mean. I once watched a whole flock follow each other through a ridiculously small gap in a hedge from perfectly good safe pasture onto a road. Sheep do not always show the best judgment, and they do need shepherding. I know myself well enough to know that the acceptance and care of the shepherd is my well-being lifeline.
Thank you.
Music from the Wallingford Parish Church Choir. And before that, I was talking to Ruth Rice, founder of the charity Renew Wellbeing and author of The A to Z of Wellbeing. And Ruth will be joining me for a few minutes on the programme each week during Lent to share a thought on a letter from her alphabet of wellbeing. And if you'd like to watch the short videos that Ruth mentioned, you can find them at ruthricebooks.online. And The A to Z of Wellbeing by Ruth Rice is available from Church's Bookshop inside St Thomas's Church on Finch Road here in the heart of Douglas. If you can't get into town, give them a call. You'll find their number in the phone book and they'll post a copy of the book out to you. And we finish now with our usual look at our notice board. The annual commemorative service to honour the memory of Sir William Hillary, the founder of the RNLI, will now be held this afternoon in St George's Church here in Douglas at 3 o'clock. It'll be conducted by Reverend Dr Michael Bryden, chaplain to the Bishop of Sodor and Man. RNLI Douglas patron, His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor, Lieutenant General Sir John Lorimer, accompanied by Lady Lorimer, will be attending the service and will lay a wreath on the tomb of Sir William and Lady Hillary in St George's Churchyard after the service. The crew and committee of the Douglas station extend an invitation to all supporters of the RNLI lifeboat service to be with them this afternoon and afterwards at the South Douglas Old Friends Association in Finch Road, where light refreshments will be served. And the Mariners Choir make a welcome return to service tonight at 6:30 in Kirkchrist, Russian Parish Church. The service will as usual be followed by refreshments and community hymn singing, with a warm welcome for all. Looking to the week ahead, and there are two invitations to pray for peace. On Wednesday, March the 9th, between 6:30 and 7:30, the Salvation Army are holding a prayer evening for Ukraine at their headquarters on Balakotia Crescent, Isle of Man Business Park. And St Mary's Roman Catholic Church on Hill Street, here in Douglas, invite you to join them on Thursday evening at 7, that's the 10th, for a Taizé service for peace. An hour of music and reflection based around the peaceful, prayerful Taizé chants, with a warm welcome for all. And now some Lent lunch news. Good, simple food, usually homemade soup, bread, perhaps cheese, fruit and desserts, and of course hot drinks, with proceeds benefiting local and global charities. Every Monday from 12 noon, St Ninian's Church are serving light Lent lunches in the parish centre. Also every Monday, there'll be Lent lunches in All Saints Hall on Alexander Drive here in Douglas. They're served between noon and 1:30, with a suggested donation of £7. Every Tuesday from noon until 2, the Abbey Church in Ballasalla offer Lent lunches in the parish hall. Again, the cost is £7. Every Thursday, the Cool Chapel on the edge of the business park in Braddon are serving their simple Lent lunches. Again, from noon till 1:30. That's each Thursday in the Cool Chapel Hall. Every Friday from noon until 1:30, Lent lunches are served in St Thomas's Church on Finch Road, here in the heart of Douglas. And again, it's a suggested donation of £7. And if you know of any Lent lunches that are missing from my list, do please let me know. But that's all that we have time for now. But I'll be back later, so do please join me if you can, tonight at 9 o'clock for Sundown, a rich mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. And do please email me if you've items for the notice board or you'd like to request a favourite hymn. My address is judithleigh@manxradio.com. So till whenever we meet again, this is Judith wishing you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning. Station, Manx Radio.